Paul had a habit, and people after him in Christ have done the same thing, of going to the scriptures to find the basis for their message, or at least to help illustrate it. And he's going to do the same thing this morning. Would you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 52? This was the scripture that Paul had. He had the Old Testament. He didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He didn't have his own letters. Some of them were already written, and some of them were not yet produced. He didn't have Peter and John's letters. He didn't have any of those. But he did have the Old Testament. And one of the most wonderful texts, and one of the biggest encouraging texts, I believe, to Christians who want to help others come to know Jesus, is found here in Isaiah 52 at verse 7. It's only one verse. It's kind of a long verse, but it's only one verse. So we're going to do it three times. And the first time we do it, I'm going to ask you not to read along with me, but just to maybe close your eyes, maybe look out the window, but try not to get distracted. Do something that just allows you to just listen and see if the Lord impresses upon you a particular word, a particular phrase out of this text. And then we'll go from there. But listen to what Isaiah said to them a couple thousand plus years ago. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Now let's read it together out loud again. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Now please listen and hear it one more time. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Amen. And now let's hear a parable from Jesus that he told, and it's found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, the first eight verses. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Paul had something of a sermon for the Ephesians, and I've borrowed various translations, tried to put it into a form that would be more sermon-like for 21st century Western New Yorkers. But I believe he would say something like this to us today. At one time, you were dead because of your sins. You followed the sinful ways of the world and obeyed the leader of the power of darkness. He is the devil who is now working in the people who do not obey God. At one time, all of us lived to please our old selves. We gave in to what our bodies and our minds wanted. We were sinful from birth, like all other people, and would suffer from the anger of God unless something changed. But God had so much grace. He loved us with such a great love. Even when we were dead because of our sins, he made us alive by what Christ did for us. You've been saved from the punishment of sin by God's grace. God raised us up from death when he raised up Christ Jesus. He has given us a place with Christ in the heavenlies. Somehow we are already seated with him. He did this to show us through all the time to come the great riches of his grace. He has shown us his kindness through Christ Jesus. For by his grace you and I have been saved from the punishment of sin through faith. It is not by anything you or I have done. It is a gift of God. It is not given to us because we worked for it. If we could work for it, we could be proud. We are his work. He has made us to belong to Christ. He has made us to belong to Christ Jesus so we can do good work for him. He planned that we should do this. Do not forget that at one time you did not know God. The Jews, who had gone through circumcision by man's hands, said, "You were people who did not know God because you were Gentiles. You were living in without Christ then. The Jewish people who belonged to God had nothing to do with you. The promises he gave to them were not for you. You had nothing in this world to hope for. You were without God. But now, you belong to Christ Jesus. At one time, you were far away from God. Now you have been brought close to him. Christ did this for you when he gave his blood on the cross. We have peace because of Christ. He has made the Jews and those who are not Jews one people. He broke down the wall that divided them, like the wall that separated the Jews from the Gentiles in the temple. He stopped the fighting between them by his death on the cross. He put an end to the law. Then he made of the two people one new kind of people like himself. In this way, he made peace. He tore down the wall, and both groups he brought together to God. Christ finished the fighting between them by his death on the cross. Then Christ came and preached the good news of peace to you who were far away from God, and he preached it to us who were near to God. Now all of us can go to the Father through Christ by way of the one Spirit. From now on, you are not strangers and people who are not citizens. From now on, you are citizens together with those who belong to God. You belong in God's family. You belong in God's family. This family is built on the teachings of the missionaries, apostles, prophets. Jesus himself is the cornerstone, which is the most important part of this temple. Christ keeps this flesh and blood building together, and it is growing into a holy building for the Lord. You also are being put together as a part of this building because God lives in you by his Spirit. I, Paul, was in prison because I was a missionary for Jesus Christ to you who were not Jews. I'm sure you've heard that God trusted me with his grace. I wrote a little bit about this to you before. In a special way, God showed me his secret plan. When you read that, you will understand how I know about the things that are not easy to understand about Christ. Long ago, men did not know these things. They were a mystery. But now they have been shown to his apostles and to the early preachers by the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you that the good news is for people who are not Jews also. They are able to have life that lasts forever. They are able to be part of his church and family together with the Jews. And together, they are to receive all that God has promised through Christ. God called and sent me to preach this good news. That was a gift of his grace. He gave me his power to preach it. Of all those who belong to Christ, I'm the least important. But this grace was given to me to preach to the people who are not Jews. I was to tell them of the great riches in Christ, which do not come to an end. I was to make all men understand the meaning of this mystery. God kept this secret to himself from the beginning of the world. Even the angels did not know what he was going to do. And he is the one who made all things. This was done so the great wisdom of God might be shown now to the leaders and powers in the heavenly places. It is being done through the church. This was the plan God had for all time. He did this through Christ Jesus, our Lord. We can come to God without fear, because we have put our trust in Christ. So I ask you not to lose heart because of the sufferings I went through for you, or that other Christians are going through to spread the good news. It was to help you, and it helps the church keep growing. And in keeping with what Paul said in the rest of Ephesians, I would simply add this. As God brought the Jews and the Gentiles together into the church, He's still doing that. There are Jews in our neighborhood, in our community, who still need Jesus. And He's also bringing together those who grew up in the church and those who've had virtually nothing to do with the church for their whole lives. God wants them to come too. Sometimes His church can be like the Jews were in the time of Paul and hold at arm's length those that are not familiar with words like grace, those who are not familiar with the way we do things. I did not plan it this way, but I think the Holy Spirit did. You notice how you felt a little uncomfortable this morning when things were not the way you're used to them being. Friends, when non-believers who are not familiar with the church come to visit us, it's like that for them 10 times over. It is imperative that we be incredibly welcoming, that we be ridiculously helpful and kind. God wants them to come to know Jesus too. God wants them to be part of this Gentile or Jewish branch of that great olive tree. So as your pastor, I want to urge you to welcome all. And in fact, like Paul, not to just have the doors open for people to come in, but to have the doors open for us to go out, to send them a postcard. Somebody has one? Hold it up. To send them a postcard, to invite them. Somebody's got it. Okay, there you go. To invite them to come and see what God is doing. Thank you, Paul. So, we're going to pray this prayer of petition all together. But I want to give you about 2 minutes to read through it and know what you're praying. Okay, it's on your little insert there, the prayer of petition. Friends, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, You have brought Jews and Gentiles together in your church. That's only fitting because you created all the different nations and tribes and families. So we ask you, in keeping with the riches of your glory, to strengthen us with power through your Spirit to our very core, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Root us and ground us in love, so that we can fully understand, with all those you have made holy, how long and broad and high and deep is the love of Christ. Help us to know intimately that love which surpasses knowledge. We want to be filled up by your Spirit to all the fullness of God. Help us to welcome into this part of your eternal family those who may be as different from us as Jews and Gentiles were in Paul's day. Help us to share with them the good news of Jesus and to nurture them in the faith, so that we may all become more pure disciples of Jesus. Loving God, you have shown us true love in Christ. Help us to love it as he did, to drive out all rivals from our hearts, that our lives might look like Jesus' life. Hear us, O Lord, as we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.